It was back in 1965. I went to my first homiletic class. Every preacher knows what that word means. Homiletics. Do you know what it means? The art of preaching or writing sermons. That's what a homily is. We call it a sermon. When I went to that class, and I must have passed. I must have passed. Don't know. But there's something about, I remember the first thing Dr. Oscar Anderson said to the class. And he said these words, and they've been engraved in my mind, my body, my soul, all that I am. He said these words to our class. He says, "Preach every sermon as if it's your last sermon." And we were all astounded. Why? And then he finished the sentence by saying, "Because it might be the last sermon someone hears." Do you know what Jesus' last sermon was? Most preachers call it the art of commission, the Great Commission, they call it. I call it Jesus' last sermon. And what was it? In my mind, I vision this. Our Lord is ascending into heaven. And he has his disciples there. Peter and Andrew, his brother, James and John, the son of Zebedee, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas the doubter, Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, Simeon the zealot, throw out Judas, drop in Matthias, and let's put also the apostle Paul. And this is what Jesus says to those disciples. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." Not every pastor says this, and every pastor is not right, and every pastor is not wrong, but I'm going to tell you what I am. I have never refused anyone holy baptism. Never. There is no law this side of heaven that can stop a pastor from baptizing a child. It was a Saturday afternoon. I happened to have cleaned my office. My wife was always, "Clean your office, clean your office, clean your office." What if somebody comes? They'll see the dirt on your desk. They can't see the dirt on the desk because they got papers all over. But this Saturday, I cleaned my office. It was good. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. And the doorbell rang. And I went to, and there's a woman. And she's holding a baby. And she's crying. And she says to me, "Father Peter Drilling, the pastor at St. George's Roman Catholic Church, told me to come and see you. You could help me." "Come on in." She sat down there. Now, I want to tell you something about my ministry, a little bit about me. Anybody that's came to my office crying or in a state of hopelessness, you know what I always told people? I said, "I'm not God, but I don't care what's happening in your life. I can fix it." I told them all the time, "I believe Jesus repairs everything. Look at your sinful nature." She sat on that couch. It was a blue one. Do you remember that, Mom? And she put the baby down, and she unwraps it, and she starts crying. And she says, "I want my baby to be baptized." I'm like, "That's not a problem. What's your problem?" She says, "You haven't heard the rest of the story." I said, "I don't need to hear any rest of the story. But if you want to tell me, what is it?" And she said these words, "I'm not married." Now, have you ever heard of anybody having a baby out of wedlock? Never. Probably it's all in your family, like mine. The Holy Spirit is boiling my tongue now. But anyway, I said, "You want me to baptize your child? That's what you want, don't you?" "Yeah, but I'm not married." "Marriage is off the plan. You don't have to worry about that." I get out a paper. I said, "What's the name? What's your name?" I said, "Did you hear me what I said?" "What'd you say?" "I'm not married." "You want the kid baptized? I'll baptize." "When?" "We had two services tomorrow, 8:50 and 11. Wrote down the name. She said, "Are you sure?" "I'm positive. And we furnished the water." I had a little prayer and out she goes. 5 minutes later, her mother calls me on the phone. And she says, "Pastor Francis, I know you." I said, "Well, who are you?" "I happen to be the mother of my daughter who just came from your house." Oh, that's nice. "Did she tell you the rest of the story?" "Of course. She's not married. What's your problem?" She said, "Are you going to baptize her?" I said, "I sure am." "Are you going to be there?" "It's going to be 8:15. She said, "I don't know." She did come up. She did come up. Now, I enjoyed that moment. That woman became a member of that church, married a guy who loved that kid so very much that I was proud that I did that. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit of negativity and help me out a little bit. Back in the 15th century, do you know what the Roman Catholic Church called a child out of wedlock? Should I tell you? A bastard. Did you hear that? Now, I don't know what. I know I'm a sinner, but I think that's double dipping. Okay? Now, I want every Christian person this side of heaven to line up right here, past, present, and future. Look at that Jesus Christ on the cross and call him a bastard. There isn't a person alive that I know. Not a person. He was born out of wedlock. He's the Savior of the world, and he's far from being X, Y, and Z. Now, I told you the negativity of the Catholic Church. Can I tell you the negativity of the Lutheran Church? I like balance. You know, we're not perfect people. Do you understand? We're not perfect people. You know what Luther wrote about Jews? Yeah, hateful things. Terrible. If you go to a Lutheran convention, you're going to find Jews with a placard walking up and down protesting against Lutherans. We have put in writing, Luther was wrong. Absolutely wrong. And we do not worship Luther. Jesus had a sermon. And he said, "Go into all the world and baptize." I have attended masses of friends of mine that passed away. And of course the church will say, "If you're not Roman Catholic, don't take communion." Have you ever heard of that? Yeah. And the last one I attended was at Johnny Lavecchi. I love Johnny Lavecchi just like very much. He died, but he was buried from Catholic Church over here. And the priest said these words, "If you aren't a Catholic, don't take communion. But if you want a blessing, come up and get it." Now my question to the priest is what? What blessing can you give me that's better than the blood of Jesus Christ and the body? What is it? I'd like to know. There isn't any. But they snow people into that. "Oh, I'm going to be blessed." It doesn't work that way. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That's the epitome of Jesus Christ. And everybody should be invited. Another thing, I've never refused anybody Holy Communion. Never. I remember a time when a Roman Catholic priest had a service out in California. And a guy dressed up in a clown suit had that colorful hair on. And his purpose was to go down that aisle and to be refused. Guess what that priest did? Here's the body of Christ. Stole the show right off the thing. You do not hurt the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you the best of the story about the girl. The best of the story is yet to be told. I was at a funeral one time. I didn't go to the committal service. I didn't officiate. I was just a friend of mine. I come out of the church, and I'm walking, and I hear somebody say, Reverend Francis, Reverend Francis. Oh, it happened to be one of the professors at Christ the King Seminary. I knew of him. We met occasionally, but he remembered me. I didn't remember him. But he comes up to me, and he says, do you have a few minutes, Reverend Francis? Of course I do. He said, this morning, your name came up at devotion. Me, amongst these brains of the seminary. Me. I'm so happy. Why? He says, well, and he got real serious. He said, we understand that you baptized a baby a couple weeks ago. And I knew which one he meant. And I said, of course I do. And you know what he said to me? I hate to tell you. You know what he told me? We have decided that you waste the grace of God. Have you ever heard of anything? I have the waste of word. And you know what I told him? I don't know about you, but I know he wasted it on me. And you know what? Probably more so on you. There's no such thing as wasting the grace of God. Jesus Christ came into this world, so what? That we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. That's what we are to do. The mission of the church is what we have to do. Do you know the joy that you guys get when somebody that you've never seen before walks through that door? Do you understand what I'm saying? My wife and I were confirmed back in 1957 at St. Matthew's Lutheran Church, 1109 Van Buren Avenue, St. Paul, Minnesota. Why do I remember these now? I'll never know. But the church closed. That congregation not there. And I went to a friend of mine that was confirmed in our class, Roger Grossloss, and I said, Roger, and his family was a big family in this church, really. It was kind of a cliquey family. But anyway, I said, Roger, do you ever remember anybody joining the church? I do not remember one person joining that church. And guess what? It's not there. It's not there. When I was pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, our conference pastor asked me to substitute for a church, small church in South Park, Buffalo, New York. I went over there, drove in, would preach there early in the morning, go back to mine. But I decided to close that church only from this reason. On Christmas Eve, five people showed up. Five people showed up. And I said, Lord, I have to close that church. There was a couple in the congregation, Ed and Alice Simonson, that did everything. They sang in the choir. They cut the grass. They shoveled the snow. They'd spend the evening over at the church on Halloween so nobody would. There was only two parking spaces that you could sit. But anyway, it closed. This one day, Ed comes to me and he says, I get from your sermon, you're thinking about closing this church. And out of his mouth came these words, over my dead body. Do you want to hear the rest of the story? He and his wife were driving to Miami to see their son, who was a Lutheran pastor. I still know Ed Simonson. He's 80-some years old to this time. They were hit by a semi behind. Truck driver fell asleep at the world, and they were dead like that. After that, the church was closed. Many of those members joined the church out there. We have to do mission of the church. That's the only thing that you have been brought into this church to do one thing, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the rest of the world. Now, I'll tell you why you don't. if you don't. You know why? We as human beings do not like to be rejected. You want it, when you find something good and you tell somebody, you want them to respond, don't you? You want them to respond. You want them. It doesn't happen. Go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. See what the Bible writes. You ever hear the sermon about the sower went out to sow the seed? Do you know what it is? Four places. The sower goes out, sows the seed, and some falls on the path, and the birds come and take it away. Some fall upon rock, no soil, and it dies. Some goes amongst weeds. It can't compete with that. But then some goes into the good ground, and it produces. It produces. What you got to understand there, you got to be like the Fuller Brush Man. You remember? Do you guys remember him? I used to call him the Empty Brush Man. And I knew what he was doing. He was always doing that psychological thing. He'd ring the doorbell. I don't need any brushes. He said, I know that. But do you have a drink of water for me? He uses that. Once they get in your house, they sit down, you give them a drink of water. Well, damn it, I'll buy a brush. You know? That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Now listen, my friends, tell me. I'm going to tell you something. Do not stop preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ because somebody says, I don't want to do it. One time, I was in Mercy Hospital. Mercy Hospital is a great Christian hospital. When I started out my ministry, I just loved the nuns. I'd go up and give them a hug. I got stories about nuns. But anyway, I was in the men's room washing my hands, and in comes an employee of Mercy Hospital. And I'm washing my hands, and I'm saying, oh, you really must be blessed to be able to work in a Christian hospital. And he turned to me and he said these words, I'm an atheist. He says, you don't believe in all that crap that's in the Bible, do you? I said, yes, I do. And I continue to wash my hands. And then, as I'm drying him, I said, I'd never be an atheist. He says, why? And I said, they only got one holiday, April 1st. I never saw him again. But let's get back to you guys' mission. I'm going to hurt you at this. Remember I told you, I said, how much you love me? I'm ruining myself today. I really am. I'm putting myself up before you. How many of you have ever had somebody knock on your door and you find out that they're a Jehovah's Witness? Huh? I want to say, they come to my house and they'll say, should we put you on the do not respond? No! Come back every week! Come on back every week! They put me on the do not. But anyway, I asked you, how many of you ever heard a Jehovah's Witness knock on your door? Raise your hands again. Now here comes the hurt. How many of you ever had a Lutheran knock on your door and ask them to come to you? See, you're the only one. God bless you. And never, I've lived down here for 12 years. A Baptist preacher with his elder came and rang my doorbell, invited me to church. Do you understand? Yes. He's out for something in your pocketbook. But anyway, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Yeah. We do not want to do mission work. I'm going to tell you truthfully. We do not. And guess what? Our Lord's last sermon was what? Go. Make disciples of all nations. All nations. See that world out there? It's ours. To bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we got to do it. We got to do it. There's no other way. There's no other way. How many of you know somebody that has cancer? How many of you know somebody that's been divorced? How many of you know somebody that should be in church with you today? You know what you told me? You got work to do. Here comes Braggsville. My wife hates me when I tell her this. My biggest characteristic is my humility. She hates it when I say that. But she's right. But I got to tell you, I got a big, humble humility. But anyway, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I received a letter from a friend of mine. And Ron, come up here, please. Help me pass these out, would you please? I want you guys, remember I gave you some homework? Give everybody one. I told you I'm trying to make you hate me. I tried to do it with my humility, too. Okay. Has everybody got one? I'm going to give you 3 minutes to read. You can omit the first three paragraphs if you want to. Start with the fourth paragraph and read on. Did you get one? I'm sorry, Bubbles. There you are. Did you get one, Cher? Your husband's slow. Kind of reminds me of your honeymoon. I told you I'm trying to make you guys hate me. Do you need some more? Ron, you need one. You're one of my favorite sinners. Everybody got one? You can skip the first three paragraphs. Read the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, and eighth. I'll give you 3 minutes. Has everybody read it? I have a prayer for you. I have a prayer for you. I would wish that somebody could write you that very same letter. I confirm Todd Oakley on the fourth day of April, 1972. How many years ago was that? 50 years. Half a century ago, I shared the gospel with him. It's the first elongated letter I've ever received. I've had people say, oh, thank you, Pastor, thank you, Pastor, thank you. And they don't mean anything. This guy put it on writing. And my prayer to you is this. Someday, somebody will write you a letter and confirm the gospel of Jesus Christ in your mind, your body, and your soul so that you know you've done the work of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. We're going to do role play right now. You know what role play is? I'm going to be Jesus Christ. You are going to be his disciples. I'm about 25 feet off the ground. It's going to be my last words to you people. I will see you again in eternity. But this is what I want you to do. Go forth. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. And all of God's people said, Amen.